It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back for Season 3, Episode 15 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. We're looking at number 59 today. Before we get started with all the high school football, a lot of football finished up this week in our area. We had we got a couple of teams going to the playoffs. We'll get into that in just a minute. But first, number 59. Not a whole lot of number 59s, Tony.
No, but one great one.
Yeah,
the great Jack Ham, outside linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We had Jack Lambert last week, their middle linebacker, the steel curtain. Now we got one of the outside linebackers, Jack Ham. Known for his mean streak. Ham, more known for his, he was a great tackler, form tackler. Every tackle was perfect. And a lot of people playing today could learn a lot from watching Jack Ham. He wrapped people up, he put their shoulder in their gut, and he put them on the ground.
Yeah. He was a great player. And a couple of other ones there.
Yeah, Luke Keachley, great linebacker for the Carolina Panthers. And then Lana Fletcher, he was a linebacker for the Rams and the Redskins. I think he went to 7 or 8 Pro Bowls. Pretty good linebacker.
Yeah, well, and that's it. I don't have any Razorbacks that wore number 59. I'm sure there was one at some point in time, but I couldn't find them.
Yeah, well, but, and I looked as well. I looked, of course, the NBA, you wouldn't find very many at all because they just started wearing numbers like that recently. And then in baseball, about the most famous guy I found at 159 is that Bird guy for the Yankees. And I couldn't even remember his first name.
That Bird guy. You talking about Mark Friedrich?
No. I'm talking about a guy played outfield for him whose last name was Bird.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know who that is. But anyway, let's get started with high school football.
Need reliable poultry equipment and service? I do. Look no further than Hometown Poultry Supply in Nashville. I won't. They're right next to McDonald's. They carry brands you know and trust, like Big Dutchman, Roxel, and Munter's Fans. Plus, they offer 24/7 service and repair because they know your birds can't wait. Whether you're updating, retrofitting, or starting fresh, Hometown Poultry Supply has your back.
All right, it's time to talk about the Nashville Scrappers. Man, Tony, they start off 0-2. Guess what? They reel off 8 wins in a row.
Yeah.
Win the conference. They finished off the season beating Genoa 56-0, which, and I talked to Coach Cheshire about this last week. Gave, you know, everybody's playing. You get to rest your starters. Yep. It all works out really well for them. And let me tell you, I would not want to be a team coming to the hill to play the Scrappers right now.
No. Not saying just mail it in, Pocahontas, but just mail it in.
Well, by the time Pocahontas get, they might not even get here before the game starts, as far as it is. And you're looking at Pocahontas there, they've got their record's 4-5, and they play in the Northeast.
Yeah.
Which normally, not always, but normally, the southern part of the state fares well against those teams from that area.
Yeah.
And so, you look at that, that's just going to be – I'm looking for the Nashville Scrappers to be in the playoffs for a good while.
Mm. Yeah.
And if they made it to the state finals, I would not be surprised at all.
It would not surprise me at all either.
No pressure, Brad. But but
and who would they be against, in your opinion?
Probably Arkadelphia again. That'd be a great rematch.
Oh, man.
I think it's actually they're on opposite sides of the bracket, so they can get there.
They can.
Yeah.
That would be excellent.
Yeah. And there's some other good teams. There's probably more.
Dardanelle's
good.
Really good.
Yeah,
Yeah,
Dardanelle's really good.
Clinton,
yeah. Mm. There are more good teams, it seems like, in 4A than there are in just about any other conference.
Yeah, yeah.
I can go 6A or 7A, I can say, okay, that team's going to beat that team.
Yeah, this Bryant's going to win 7A.
That's right.
Greenwood's going to win 6A. But in 4A,
yeah.
You can't really do that.
No, I don't think so.
And 5A as well is kind of balanced out. I think there's 3 teams in our conference that could win 5A.
Yeah, yep, you're right. You're right about that, but you know, when as the Scrappers move on, you know, looking forward to cover them in the playoffs and seeing how they fare, and but Scrapperettes, they're already playing basketball, man. Yeah. They played Saturday and they went to Lone Oak and made Lone Oak wish they were not at home. It was 62-27. I mean, just an outstanding performance by them. You know, got to see some of the highlights on Facebook, you know, and man, they're going to be good.
Yeah.
They're going to be really good. Mm-hmm. They, you know, of course, Paul Dean is a great coach, and he's going to do a lot of, you know, he's going to have them ready to play all the time. And but they just look really good. And, you know, that's all I got to say about that.
they are our team. They're going to make another run, probably deep. Yeah. Into the state tournament, maybe to Little Rock.
Yep, could be. Or Hot Springs.
Yeah, let's go to Hot Springs.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'm here with Coach Brad Cheshire of the Nashville Scrappers. And, Coach, congratulations on finishing out the season 8-2, conference champions, and a big win over Genoa Friday night, getting ready for the Pocahontas team to make the trek down from northeast Arkansas. I don't figure they're going to get a big, nice reception on the hill Friday night.
Well, first and foremost, you know, I'm extremely proud of this team for, you know, finishing out the season as outright conference champions, finishing the district play undefeated. That's a big accomplishment for our team. You know, something that we're normally, you know, used to a plaque that's, you know, that we usually hold consistently. So it was good to get back to that point, something that we haven't done in 5 years. I guess the last time that we won it was in 2020. So, but it was good to be able to celebrate that at the end of that game. But obviously, you know, we've got a bigger goal in mind, and we have to continue to prepare every single day to be able to get to that point. There's a lot of good teams in 4A football. I don't know if there's just one team that stands out over the others. I mean, there's probably 10 or 12 teams that are about the same, in my opinion. And you know, every single week in the playoffs is going to be a grind, and we've got to come ready to play. But to answer your question about Pocahontas, this is a team that came down here last year. Obviously I was not on the sidelines for this game last year, but you know, exact same team, exact same round and exact same location. And this Pocahontas team came down here ready to play a year ago and beat us. And so, you know, we know that those guys are going to come ready to play. And, you know, all those sophomores and juniors from last year's team that are back, they remember what it felt like coming down here and beating us. And I fully anticipate those guys coming down here and giving us everything that they have, just like every team in the playoffs. You know, these teams are in the playoffs for a reason. It don't matter what seed you are, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's win or go home. So everybody's going to play their best football, and we have to do the same. We're going to have to come out with a lot of effort, a lot of intensity, and that's one thing that I've preached to our kids this week is if we'll take care of three things, our effort, attitude, and discipline, we'll guarantee ourselves a chance every week in the playoffs. But a tough Pocahontas team coming down here that is going to be physical offensively, try to keep the ball away, and we're going to have to do a good job defensively of not getting out leveraged and not getting outmanned, and we're going to have to get our offense the football, where last year, you know, offensively, we only had the football about, you know, 8 to 10 times in the first half. And so that can't happen this year, or you may get the same result. So, but I look forward to it. Our kids look forward to it. Our community looks forward to it. Everybody's excited around here, and hopefully we can go into this one and have some success.
Well, I just, you know, after, you know, starting out with two losses and then doing what you did for the remainder of the season, looks good. It's back to I'll name it since you didn't. Scrapper football and where the scrappers usually are. They're always playing for conference championships, state championships, and that's where you want to get. And I know that's where all the fans want to be too. But just a great. Great season so far, and looking forward to the continuation of it in the playoffs. Anybody you want to mention as far as the game Friday night goes?
Well, Bryce Barron had a really good game again, rushing for 119 yards and 3 touchdowns. Cortez Cooper defensively ended the night with 2 interceptions, which makes 5 for the year for him. We had 4 turnovers defensively, which was good. We played a lot of guys. Every single kid that had an orange helmet on Friday night, played in that game. And so we had a lot of guys that were able to come in and get good quality reps, and thought that was good for us as we go into the playoffs, because, to win 5 of them, you're going to need everybody. And, I thought, DJ Jefferson came in and gave us some really good reps at quarterback, a kid that tore his ACL at the beginning of the year and has slowly worked his way back, and has been giving us good reps there. And, he threw for 109 yards and 1 touchdown, and also had a rushing touchdown. And so he got quite a bit of reps Friday night. And, Hop, who has been the guy for the whole season, tried to keep him fresh, keep him, another thing going into the Genoa game was trying to prevent injuries of some guys, because, we had the 1 seed locked in. We didn't necessarily want to go into that one and risk anybody, but Hop still started the game, came in and scored a rushing touchdown and threw for a touchdown. But wanted to see DJ be able to come in and get a lot of reps just in case we ever needed him throughout the playoffs. And so, had a lot of guys that had to step up early and play. Halton Howard had to come in, a sophomore, and start on the offensive line for us, because we had 1 that we didn't play Friday night, just trying to get him healthy. Had a little ankle, was a minor ankle sprain versus Malvern the week before, so we just held him out last week. But, we Hayden Crabtree, another guy, had to come in, a sophomore, and had to play a lot on the offensive line early. So it was good to be able to see a lot of these guys come in and get good quality reps and continue to grow.
Well, that's great that you got all those guys, and I just got all those guys playing time, got some rest for the starters before you get into the playoffs. We talked about that, and that's going to bode well for you as you move forward. I just think that. As you move into the playoffs, Coach, just give me a little bit of an idea of what the playoff picture looks like as far as where you're going to be as long as you win. And I know you're taking it one game at a time and all that, but if you look at the brackets, are you going to be home for a while, or how does that work?
Well, like you just said, we got to win and we've got to take care of business, obviously this week, or it doesn't matter. But – if the Scrappers were to make it to the finals, we would be at home, guaranteed be at home round 1 and 2. Round 3 would be a – don't really know if Gosnell were to make it to round 3, and we did as well, we would have to go to Gosnell. If Gosnell were to get beat round 2, then we – made it to round 3, then we would play at home round 3, and then you're guaranteed a home game in the semis. So that's kind of an outlook of what the playoffs look like moving forward. You got the winner of our game, the winner of us and Pocahontas will play the winner of Prairie Grove and Heber Springs round 2. And so Gosnell will end up playing the winner of Gentry and Warren round 2. Gosnell gets a bye. And so, that just kind of gives you an idea of what it looks like and kind of the teams that we match up with moving forward.
Okay. Well, and like I said, I know your sole focus is on Pocahontas this week, and you're not really thinking about that. Just trying to get that done where we can, we could talk about it a little bit so the fans kind of know where it's going to be and what's going to be happening. So,
sure.
Yeah. But anything else you want to add before we get going, before I let you go this week?
You know, it's a special time of the season. You know, there's a lot of schools, a lot of football teams that have taken up equipment this week, and so we are obviously here at Nashville. You know, I mean, we're used to being in the playoffs. We're expected to be in the playoffs every single year. And we're very fortunate, you know, and we're humble to be where we are. But we this time of the year, you have no reason not to be excited, not to go play hard. And so we've got to come out every single week from here on out and do absolutely whatever it takes to win and put our best kids on the field and put them in the best possible situations to succeed moving forward and take it one day at a time and let's see what happens.
That's all you can do, Coach. Man, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me and enjoy the visit each week. And I'll talk to you next week, and we're going to be talking about a scrapper victory.
Yes, sir. I plan on it. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
With more than 60 years behind them, the future is bright for York Gary Autoplex. They continue to grow, adapt, and serve, always putting the community first. Whether it's helping a first-time buyer, servicing a family's third SUV, or cheering on the scrappers, York Gary Autoplex goes the extra mile every day. When it's time for your next vehicle, trust the dealership that's been with you for generations. York Gary Autoplex.
Me and the Bearcats, the other team in our that we talk about, Tony, going to the playoffs, they finished their season at 6-4. Dardanell comes over and beats them 28-13. Not a surprise.
No, the surprise to me is that Mina played them really, really well. I mean, it was a close game, and Mina hung in there till the end.
Yeah, and so that makes Mina the fourth seed?
They're the five seed.
They're the five seed, okay.
Yeah.
They're the five seed from their conference, so they're going over to play one of the best teams in 4A, Hamburg, next week at Hamburg. And, they've got to, I think Mina can play with anybody.
I think you're right. I think if you play Darnell within a touchdown or two, you prove that.
Yeah.
And I think that that 4A-4 that Mina's in, probably in competition with the 4A-7 as far as the best conferences in 4A. And a lot of times these teams that are lower seeds in the better conferences will go on the road and beat a team from another conference who's a one or a two seed, but maybe the conference isn't as good.
Yeah, I agree with that, and look forward to talking about that next week.
Yep.
Moving on to basketball for Mina, though, the Bearcats are playing Hackett this week, and the Lady Cats are traveling to Lake Hamilton, so they're going to go ahead and start playing basketball. They have enough kids they can do both at the same time,
right?
And so they're going to start playing basketball, and then the Lady Cats are going to play also. So getting basketball going while football's still going up at Mina. So looking forward to that and talking to them about that.
The Mina Bearcats. Bearcats are getting ready for a playoff game. The big teams that we cover, them and the Scrappers are moving on to the postseason. And Coach, that's got to feel good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's something that we don't take for granted. I mean, it's hard winning football games, and it's hard making the playoffs. You know, the team I was a part of made the state championship in 2014, and then we didn't make it again for 3 years in a row. And I didn't like that feeling. And it's a different feeling. It's a weird feeling. And so I think up until then I was a younger coach. And so I took it for granted. But once you've been out of it for a few years, you know, you quickly know how special it is. So yeah, playoff football is special no matter whether you're a one seed or five seed.
Well, and, had Dardanelle Friday night and, definitely one of the best teams in 4A. I'm going to say that, you know, most polls that I've seen have had them in the top two or three. And y'all gave them all they wanted.
Yeah, super proud of our group. you know, we had a tough game against Clinton, and it would have been easy just to come and lay down against, you know, what a lot of – even some of those polls have us number one in the state.
So, yeah.
They came over then. They got us last year really good, too. They ended our, you know, bid for a perfect season last year. So our kids were ready to play and really, you know, battled through in all four quarters and gave them a good game and put ourselves in position to win. We didn't capitalize in a lot of different areas. We were penalized too much, kind of been some Achilles heels of ours that we've been trying to work through. But, yeah, super, super proud all the way to the end. You know, at the end we got a big fourth down stop at with about 2 minutes to go, and we drive down, you know, just a play away from making it within one score with about a minute to go. And we've had been doing some great onside kicks and recovered one of them. So, you know, we feel confident, and our kids were too, and it's definitely a great lead into the playoffs for us.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm getting ready to say. You play with those guys, you can play with anybody left. And Beck Vecka had a great game for you all, four receptions, over 150 yards. But now you travel to Hamburg, and what do you know about them? What do you know about that conference?
A really good team. This will be our third week in a row to play what I think is really some top eight teams. You know, Dardanelle's the top two team, and Clinton's definitely a top eight team, and I think Hamburg is too. They've been right there. So, you know, they played a really emotional game in their last game of the year against Stuttgart, you know, battling for that conference championship. They didn't come away with it, but super athletic, really good backfield, big on the line. So, you know, I think for us, we have to go in and make sure our alignment's where it needs to be, to where we keep those big plays from happening and play physical. I think playing physical and trying to be the most physical and hardest working group out there, I think bodes well for us.
Well, you know, that's what I've always kind of noted and respected about MENA, is they're usually not the biggest team, but many times, even without being the most the biggest team, they are the most physical team in the contest.
Yeah, that's how you win here. I mean, if you try to out-athlete somebody or, you know, out-finesse or skill someone, you're not going to win a lot of games here. And I think we understand that, and we take a lot of pride in that, and starts in the weight room and off-season and everything too. But, yeah, playing physical football, hitting you in the mouth to where you feel it every single time you get hit, and it's a little bit harder every time you get up off the turf, is something that we aim to do. You know, it doesn't, like I said, we don't guarantee wins, but it guarantees ourselves a chance to win for sure.
Yeah, it has a kind of a wearing effect on people. The first couple of punches you throw, you know, may not have much effect, but the 25th or 30th punch you throw, it really starts to affect other teams.
Yeah, for sure. Just consistency, though.
Yeah.
Just being consistent. And then now, of course, the other way you do it is you can't be penalized for here at MENA. You know, you got to play more perfect than everybody else does. Some other teams may not have to play as perfect as you to win, but we have to play as close to our best as we can to win every week, and that's something we need to take pride in.
Well, Coach, I hope next week we are talking about a second-round opponent and a Bearcat victory.
Well, thanks. Our team's a good team, and we've been close. You know, we've been close against some really good teams in the state, and this team is good enough to have a win some people remember for a long time. So excited to watch them play.
Me too. That would be awesome. You have a great week, and go get them.
Thank you.
You take care.
UA Casa Tots, cccua.edu. We appreciate them so much for sponsoring the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, and you need to go to that website today. You can find out so much information, including how to apply and enroll, and check out all of their programs and areas of study, their degree plans, medical education, online programs, programs by campus, and their high school programs as well. You can graduate high school with an associate's degree using the UA Casa Tots High School program they have on offer. You can also figure out how to pay for college as well, either with financial aid or scholarships, disbursements and refunds, and so much more. Figure out your textbooks and all career pathways. You can also check out their athletic stuff, their Colts merchandise shop. And speaking of that, you can go to uacasatotcolts.com. That is a website dedicated just for Colts fans. So you can check out, you know, basketball's about to be starting up. Soccer is going strong right now. Their shooting sports are going strong. And you can visit their team shop. And you can donate directly to the UA Casatot Colts and their athletic department there on the website. So join the Colts Club today and go to uacasatotcolts.com. And again, they're the main website. You can find out everything you need to know. Look at their calendar. Check out more about about them and the news and all of their locations and everything. UA Casitat, again, we appreciate them so much for sponsoring the podcast, and they've been with us for a good while now. So again, it's perfect for us, and we love talking about them. UA Casitat, hit up cccua.edu today.
Dirk's Outlaws finished their season 4-6. And before we talk about that, Tony, just want to mention one more time the T-Mobile celebration. It's going to be November 14th. It's going to start at 9:45 and go to noon.
Oh, wow.
So they're going to have a big party up there.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to try to hold it down. I think that guy's whose picture was in the report about it in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette's paying for everything.
Oh,
he doesn't know it, but
yeah.
So they thought it was that it was yeah. It was Grover Hill. It was not Grover Hill. No, it was not. And so I think he gets the pleasure of playing for everything though for the party. So I'm kidding. I don't know. But anyway, they're going to have a big celebration up there on November 14th. So if you want to go, they're inviting everybody to come.
Including that guy.
Yeah, that guy can come too, whoever that guy is. We don't know who that is.
No idea.
I mean, I think they just picked him up. They just had a picture somewhere. They just put it on there.
That would be so much fun to cut out for your fridge. You'd be like, that was not me. But it was. No one can say differently.
That's right. That's right. But anyway, congratulations to them again on that. And you talk about big win. There's a big win right there.
$1 million
win.
That is a big win that will make a difference in that football program for the next 20 years.
That's right. That's right. But they finished their season 4-6. Go over to Gurdon, and Gurdon beat the Outlaws 49-12. Injuries at the end of the year really affected the Outlaws.
Numbers affect that, and then you get a key person hurt. If they play two ways, you're trying to replace two positions, and it caught up with the Outlaws as the season went on.
Yep, and so they finish up their season and get ready to start basketball season. They're gonna be a week in between, so we won't be talking about basketball next till the following weeks when they'll be playing basketball, and we look forward to seeing how, especially the Lady Outlaws are going to be really good.
Well,
too.
Nice. It's no coincidence that the Lady Outlaws are starting at Lakeside. I mean, that's a big jump in classification, and I dare say the Lady Outlaws will go up there and win or hold their own.
Yeah, nice. I think so too. Should be a great season for them and the Outlaws also. We look forward to that, and we'll talk about that as we move forward.
At Pilgrims, their vision guides everything they do to be the best and most respected company in the industry, creating the opportunity of a better future for their team members. Absolutely amazing. We love having Pilgrims Pride as our title sponsor. From education and recreation to healthcare and social services, JBS USA invests in meaningful community projects that have had lasting benefits for their team members and their neighbors, and they provide meaningful investments in projects that will have lasting impact for generations to come. The Hometown Strong Initiative is part of a $70 million contribution to the communities where they live and work. Also, building the largest free college tuition program in rural America, Better Futures. Pilgrims is providing team members and their child dependents the opportunity to pursue their higher education dreams for associate degrees and trade certificates at community and technical college tuition free. Also, they want their team members to know just how much they appreciate their dedication by ensuring they love working with us. As part of their total compensation package, they offer comprehensive employee benefits designed to meet the healthcare and financial goals of their team members and their families today, tomorrow, and in the future. Their seven values include determination, simplicity, availability, humility, sincerity, discipline, and ownership. These values are reflected in the hard work of their team members every single day. Community is also a driving force behind everything Pilgrims does, whether it's in community events, fundraisers, charitable donations to the community. Pilgrims can always be seen helping wherever they can. We value the people who make our company a success. Seriously, so many many fundraisers in the area. You always know Pilgrims always donates the chicken and even cooks it sometimes. They're always seen in the community for many community events. So we appreciate them so much in the community for employing so many people here and also for sponsoring and being the title sponsor for the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. So again, we appreciate them so much. Opportunity awaits. Join their talent community today and visit jobs.pilgrims.com.
Let's talk about the Costot River Eagles. They've been playing basketball, Tony. The boys played a couple of games. The girls have played three games, and so they're full bore into it.
They are. Boys off to an 0-2 start. Lost to Blevins and Acorn, and they'll travel to Waldron. Same with the girls on November 14th. Girls 1-2 on the year. They won at Blevins. So Nick Day had a big game against Acorn for the Eagles, and Gwen Bradshaw, Greg, who we know really well, had big games for the Eagles, Eagles.
Can't wait to see how they're going to do this year. I think they're going to be really improved and do a really good job.
Yep.
Dakota Barrett, Causatot River Eagles, they have moved on to the round ball. And Coach, tell me about what the Eagles accomplished last week.
Yeah, I tell you what, I had a big week for us, starting to get the ball rolling a little bit in senior high. Played Acorn Tuesday night at our place, played the dog out of them, ended up losing it by 7 here, led the whole game to the last 4 minutes. They had a kid get hot and took the lead on us. How it goes, of course, you know, basketball, just a game of runs. And
absolutely.
We couldn't kill theirs. And they come out and beat us. They've got a good team, coached really well by Coach Dollar. And our senior girls got beat as well. And Acorn senior girls are a superb team this year. I tell you, they're going to make a run in state in 2A. Coach Ledbetter's got them rolling. Then we turn around. We went to Caddo Thursday night. Caddo Hills, good as always. Did not play a senior boys game. Our senior girls got in a knockdown drag out with them and come up short in that one. During the junior boys game, had two boys go down on us and ended up calling the senior boys game and just really kind of a weird week. But we are in full swing basketball here at Costot.
Wow. So everybody's okay, I assume?
Yeah, I've got both of them back here at school. One of the boys' blood sugar dropped and caused him to have a little episode. They got him out of there, and about 20 minutes later, we had a boy have a panic attack and led into kind of the same thing. They end up med-flighting him out. Wow. But I'm just going to tell you, and if I can take a minute and say, man, Caddo Hills, they took care of us. They let us use a vehicle. They offered to bring our bus back. I mean, they went above and beyond for us. And, you know, that's really – we talk about a lot in football, especially here, how other people help us out and whatnot. But that's really just high school sports.
It's a residue of the part of the world we live in. We live in a blessing bubble, man. And I wouldn't want to live anywhere else.
You betcha. I say, didn't play a senior boys game. Kind of back to the drawing board for us anyways. Didn't hurt our guys to get a little more practice in. We do not have a senior high game this week or until Friday.
Right.
We go to Waldron Friday. That's the only one this week. And we played junior high night last night at Mena. And then we start the Horatio Junior High Tournament tomorrow night. We go down and play Genoa Central, and hopefully we'll hang around and play in it for a few days.
Young men, young ladies stand out last week?
Yeah, I tell you, Nick Day had a big night for the senior boys against
Acorn. With 13 points, and really played hard. But really, my first five just really got after it and was really proud of the intensity we brought.
Didn't think we brought that against Blevins. That's who we're going to have to be if we're going to win some games. And the senior girls, they could share the love around a little bit if they wanted to. But for me, it's going to be Riley Manning. She anchored them and the press against Acorn, and they run some full court man. She got us down in our offense every time, and Riley just does a really good job of running the show. and still got some growth to be done there, but I was leading this program back in the right direction.
Well, Coach, you're always a pleasure to talk to you. You're always generous with your time with me and our podcast, and we'll call back next week, and hopefully we're talking about a couple of Eagle wins over the Bulldogs.
I believe in speaking into existence. We're going to be talking about wins next week. Y'all have a good week.
There you go. You have a good week.
Yes, sir. Go Eagles.
Go Eagles.
DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West, right here in DeQueen. Give them a call, 870-642-8387, to schedule an appointment today. And Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, located at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown. You can call them at 870-898-5181. Come on, man. Martin Veterinary Services, think of them as your other family doctor, okay? Everybody knows your furry little ones. Come on, you need to give them the best health care possible, and you will do no wrong by going with Martin Veterinary Services, Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, DeQueen Animal Hospital. Just, if you don't take my word for it, take all these Google reviews, 5 stars across the board of all of this. And they're all recent, too. They help our dogs. They give them shots. They check them out. Absolutely awesome place to take your fur babies. This town gained angels when he brought his family here. That's how much people trust Dr. Martin and his staff. Absolutely amazing staff. I've used them personally. I got myself a new dog not long ago. A new dog. Got myself a dog, and he was a stray, so took him there. He of course had, worms and some other small problems, some skin problems. They helped him through all of that. And then actually just recently got him, got him neutered over there. And it was a great process. They kept him overnight, and picking him up, and you almost couldn't even tell that anything had happened, So that was very, very cool to see. They love my dog up there, and I'm sure they love yours. I've taken my cats there for their yearly shots and all that stuff. So whether it's just routine or something serious, you can trust DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. We appreciate them for sponsoring the podcast since the very beginning. So trust Martin Veterinary Services today. And now it's time for my favorite segment of the program, and that is the award show, where we are able to give away a lot of different awards and accolades to all of the kids in the area. So let's get it started.
All right, let's do that. Let's talk about the Shelter Insurance Jeff Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week.
All right, that's going to be Jake Martin of the DeQueen Leopards. Played quarterback this year, middle linebacker last year, versatile young man, 78 yards rushing, 96 total yards and a touchdown.
Nice.
And the Domtar Panther Player of the Week is?
It's going to be Caden White, 4 catches, 52 yards, and a pick six in the Panthers game with Fountain Lake.
Horatio State Bank sponsors the Line Player of the Week for Horatio, and that's going to be?
Joseph Fonseca, 11 carries for 47 yards.
Right, and they also sponsored the Gator Player of the Week.
It's going to be Aiden Forrest with 6 tackles for the Gators.
Right. Loveless Refrigeration sponsors the Scrapper Player of the Week.
Going to be Bryce Perrin, 119 yards and 3 TDs in the Scrapper's big win.
Okay. The Shelter Insurance Todd Moore Agency Outlaw Player of the Week.
Going to be Jason Bailey. First time we've mentioned that young man's name this year, but he had 7 tackles in the game against Gurdon.
Right. The Union Bank of Mena Bearcat Player of the Week.
A guy we've heard before. Beck Vecca, 4 catches, 127 yards, and a touchdown.
Union Bank of Mena Eagle Player of the Week will be?
Going to be Nick Day, 13 points in the loss to Akron.
And now we move on to the area awards. The Toad Thumper Lure Offensive Player of the Area this week will be?
Going to be the Gators' Caden Easter, 7 carries, 76 yards, and a touchdown. And this is kind of an all-around acknowledgement of a great week. 7 tackles and 2 tackles for loss as well.
Yeah, good job by that young man. Horatio State Bank Defensive Player of the Area.
Going to be Outlaw that I have a tremendous amount of respect for. Kind of a throwback, old school. Mason Smith, 7 tackles. Young man has played hurt all season and just refuses to come off the field.
Right, in the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, Mud Creek Designs Player of the Area for this week.
Going to be Luis Sotelo of the DeQueen Leopards, 224 yards on the ground, 2 touchdowns in the loss to Arkansas High.
congratulations to all those players. And we got one more thing to do. We've got the Queen Motorsports game of the week, and that's going to be?
It's going to be Mina at the McDonald's Hamburg Hamburgers.
All right.
The Hamburgers.
Hopefully the Bearcats, they have a Big Mac on Friday, right. And beat Hamburg.
The Hamburg Hamburglers.
I'm telling you, we got to go through and rename all these schools.
We've had so many good ones.
Yeah.
I know you like the Charleston Charlies, but I like the Charleston Chews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the Gurdon Lights.
Yeah.
We get them.
The Falk Monsters.
Yeah. The Falk Monsters. Come on.
That's got to be.
How in the world, right?
We need to.
Missed opportunity.
We're giving these out for free, too.
Right. These are $1 million ideas. Anything for these.
And I think that wraps up all of the high school sports for the area, but we always love to talk about more national topics, and this conversation is brought to you by Mina Pre-Owned. Get yourself a new car, pre-owned car today.
That's right. And we're going to start off talking about the Razorback basketball team. Played Michigan State up at Michigan State Saturday night.
Is that in Lansing?
Or East Lansing.
Yeah,
maybe.
Something like that.
Yeah, I don't really know.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I'm going to tell you this. You'll laugh when I tell you this. I was impressed.
They played really well. I mean, and that is not an easy place to play. That place was jam-packed. And mm-hmm. Michigan State's a really good basketball team with a Hall of Fame coach. And Razorbacks held their own.
Well, and what impressed me was, you know, even when the Razorbacks have been good in the past, they'll go to a place like that and lose by 20.
Right.
And they were in that game till the end.
They were.
Yeah.
They had their chances at the end.
Yep, they did. So, you know, I think that bodes well for them in the future
right.
As we move forward. But anyway, they've got a lot of games against, you know, money games now for a while.
Right.
Just to practice to get ready. But, you know,
like Southern?
They got UCA Tuesday night.
Right.
And then Southern and I don't know. They got a team called Queens. I don't know who that is. I do.
I know who they are.
Yeah. but anyway, they you know, a lot of games like that and here and there. But, you know, sprinkled in there, they're still playing. They're playing Duke on Thanksgiving night.
Right.
And then they're playing Houston in New Jersey, and they're also playing Texas Tech somewhere around the middle of December. So that they've got a lot of good games, and you know, either in their league or in the preseason, they're playing every team that was in the Final Eight last year.
Wow.
So I think that's probably a pretty ambitious schedule.
It is.
For anybody.
It is.
Yeah. So looking at Razorback football, if anybody wants to, the biggest thing about that surprises me more about this, I can't imagine it not being bigger than that.
Oh, the line?
Yeah.
5.5? Yeah.
What is that?
There's no way I would not take LSU and give the 5.5.
Yeah, all day long.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't see.
Not that I bet on that stuff. But.
No, I don't either. But, I mean, you can't. There's no way that.
What does Vegas know that we don't?
You're right. Well, you know, and the Razorbacks have been playing close. They lose, but they've been playing close.
Yeah, which
mostly.
Was the scenario I brought up when this all started.
That's right, which leads us into the next thing we're going to talk about, which is the coaching situation.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, I think it's hard to argue with the tiers that I've got these jobs in. Now, I think you can argue with the order in the tier, but, you know, Penn State, LSU, Florida, they're the highest profile jobs available
right now.
And then whether you're talking to me or Bryce Merrick, Auburn, Arkansas, and UCLA, kind of on the same level. Although I did see something yesterday because Bryce kept hounding me about me saying that Auburn was a higher profile job than Arkansas. Auburn this year is spending $12 million in NIL. And I saw a quote from Hunter Yurecek that they would like to get, their goal is to get to $12 million, which means they're not
right
anywhere near there yet.
Right.
So, I don't know. I do see Bryce's point that Auburn is going to be second fiddle to Alabama always, and Arkansas is always going to be the state team. But I don't know. We'll see how that works out. Third tier, Stanford, Virginia Tech, and Oklahoma State. And then the last tier, Oregon State, UAB, and Kent. I did read an article last night while the Steelers were getting waxed that by the end of the season, they think there's going to be 40 open college football jobs. Now, there's only like 130 teams. So you're talking a third.
Yeah.
A third of the team's going to be looking for a coach.
See, I was just thinking, I think Deion's going to be gone.
Oh, yeah. You get beat by the Mountaineers. Yeah, you're.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he, you know, with what he's done, I mean, he had one run with those two kids, his kid and the other one that played wide receiver and defensive back.
Yeah.
And they were good enough to make him look halfway decent.
But. Well, and he's not in great health, and that's got to – he says it's not affecting, you know, his coaching, but you know, even if it's just a time thing, it's got to affect your coaching.
Right.
Scene. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. But I there's several other jobs that could be open. I mean, I'm going to tell you this, and I may be wrong, but you know, Sark down at Texas, you know, they're talking about him for some pro jobs, and he got mad about it. Which means it's true, right?
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, usually, you know, if you get mad about it, you know, I'm just focusing on my team. And that means his agent's talking to all of them.
Mullen, he's been mentioned for some of these jobs. And I think he texted something back at Arkansas, say, you ought to hire Miles on. So, which means he's interested.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But I think that, you know, when you look at the list they're talking about, I don't know, I saw it somewhere, you know, they basically had, they had Petrino and they had James Franklin, and then they had the Memphis coach, the Tulane coach, and I think the North Texas coach.
Yeah.
And you know, I think, but you know, with these jobs open, the Memphis coach, if he leaves, he's not going to Arkansas.
No, not with what's opening up now.
Well, you just think about this. So Lane Kiffin is going to Florida or LSU, one of the two, right?
Right.
Well, we'll say that for now. So let's just say he goes to Florida. So that's going to open up Ole Miss. Is Ole Miss a better job than Arkansas?
I would say you're in the same debate as Auburn.
I'd say right now it probably is.
Yeah. They're spending on NIL, but well, it's probably more than Arkansas.
They spend enough money to get Lane Kiffin when we wouldn't.
Yeah, that's true.
So that, you know, that happened, but
talk about getting in the Wayback Machine and
yeah,
what you should have done then.
Yeah, no kidding. But I think, you know, so that means, and I don't know their names. The Memphis coach going to go. He'd rather go to Ole Miss. Yeah, like Silverfish. That's right. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I mean, he's going to have more opportunities, and that doesn't mean he might go to Arkansas. But here's the deal: I talk about it every time we talk about this. It's about money.
Yeah.
It's not about. I mean, if you have the right amount of money to pay the coach, and for NIL, you. Arkansas becomes a good job.
Right.
But right. If you're going to try to do with what we're doing with right now, you're saying we're not going to be in the title hunt ever.
That's right.
And so decide what you want. It doesn't matter to me either way it works.
I don't think it takes the basketball level commitment that Arkansas has made. I mean, they have just pushed all their chips to the center of the table, says we're going to win a national championship in basketball. I don't think it takes that kind of effort, but you also can't be 14th out of 16 or 18 SEC teams in NIL.
That's right.
And expect to compete.
No.
You can't do it.
No. No, because you're not going to win. So still looking forward to seeing what it is. My money is still on Petrino, which I –
it would be the easy hire.
And the cheapest hire.
Oh, by far.
And that's where – if you do that – my opinion, you're giving up.
Yeah.
And it's not because of Petrino coaching-wise. It's because of where he puts you, both financially and NIL-wise.
Well, no one's going to get excited about giving NIL money
to
Coach Petrino.
No. No, I don't think so either. But anyway, and who knows what else is going to come open.
Right. Oh, yeah. in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll just have to see that. You know, moving on down a little bit, you see the November 14th, the 55th anniversary of the Marshall plane crash. You know, just something, if you're a, you know, I was 10 or 11 years old and I remember when that happened.
Yeah.
You know, there's two plane crashes I remember. That one and the Wichita State one.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, you know, those things just affect everybody. If you're involved in sports, I mean, you just know about it. And I know it's not like if you were there, but obviously. But I think it, you know, it's just something that kind of defined Marshall and still defines them, don't you think, Tony?
It does. I mean, it's where We Are Marshall, you know, kind of originated. And, you know, I think that I've said this, and is winning important to Marshall? It is. I like to win, but more important than probably anywhere else in the country, the fact that you just keep playing,
yeah,
you know, yeah, is important. And, you know, if you've never watched the movie We Are Marshall, I would recommend you watch it. You talk about a story of perseverance.
Yeah.
It is the Marshall football story.
Yeah.
So you know, in Huntington on the 14th, they'll turn off the fountain. There's a fountain with 75 points on it that they'll turn off on the 14th, because it's going to get really cold, and in tribute to these the people that lost their lives, and the first day of spring practice they turn it back on, so it's they have a ceremony for that too. I mean, it's really cool. I know when they made the movie We Are Marshall, Matthew McConaughey's comment was, "I can't believe nobody's ever made a movie about this before."
Yeah,
and so. It's always, it's mixed emotions for me, because I mean, it's just, you know, I was only 6 years old, but my dad drug me to Marshall football, basketball, you know, and, it just, it's part of who I am. And, it's not sad is not the right word, but it's you know, it's sobering. You think about those young men and their lives being cut short like that, and nobody has any guarantees.
No, they don't. And you know, one of the things about it is then you think about those guys that were left.
Oh, I know. The story really focuses about the four or five guys that for whatever reason weren't on the plane, and the guilt that they dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
By not being on the plane, that they thought that they should have died in that plane crash.
Yeah,
Nate Ruffin, who's maybe most single-handedly is responsible for Marshall still having a football program now, was one of the players that wasn't on the plane because of injury, and he basically willed the program back.
Yeah.
And it's a great story.
It is a great story and a great movie.
Yeah,
yeah. All right. Let's move on. We didn't get to talk about this last week because we did the podcast early last week. So we'll talk about the Cowboys and their humiliating loss to the Cardinals last Monday night. I mean, that was pathetic. I mean, we're going to have to get some new teams, Tony. I mean, you're not where I am, but I mean, Steelers yesterday
looked really old again.
They did.
You know, you think about an old team making the trip to the West Coast, playing late on Sunday, and that's what they looked like. They looked like they missed their nap time or something.
It was past their bedtime,
I guess,
because it was out on the West Coast.
And then, you know, going back to the Cowboys, you know, Jerry Jones almost bit somebody's head off, you know, saying that, you know, this Micah Parsons thing, and he finally had to admit, hey, we're more than one player away, which they are. I don't know how much difference Micah Parsons would make on this team.
No.
So.
Well, and they've got a couple of injuries in the secondary that's hurt them too.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, it's just, I mean, there's teams you're supposed to beat.
Yeah. The Cardinals is one of them.
That's right.
At home on Monday Night Football.
And they're playing a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
And made him look – he looked better than Joe Flacco against the Steelers. So, Jacoby Brissett, I mean, who is that?
Yeah, I think you're kind of seeing a changing of the guard in the NFL, maybe something that only happens, ever so often. You see the Broncos right now. I'm not sure I'd bet against the Broncos.
No. Yeah.
And I'm not sure I'd bet against the Seahawks either. And who'd have thought that? You could have a Broncos Seahawks Super Bowl.
I would love to see that.
I would too.
But I think it goes to show you one thing is who the coach is. Yeah. It's very important.
Yes.
Sean Payton, I've always thought was a great coach.
Yeah.
So you just pluck some guy.
Well, if the Cowboys ever had a chance to get Sean Payton and didn't, that was a huge mistake.
Well, that and Derrick Henry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm telling you, the last 2 years, and they I don't know about Sean Payton for sure. They could have had Derrick Henry. We all know that.
Yeah,
he begged them to take him.
He moved to Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah. And that right there, and then, so they lose on Monday night, and then Jerry comes out with this, we got these great trades coming up, and he gets some guy that got benched by the Bengals.
who has no defense.
No.
The Bengals, who routinely score 40 points and lose, you get one of their bench warmers from their defense.
I think
his name was Luke Wilson.
It may have been. Or Owen. Yeah. But anyway, enough about those two. Let's talk about the Packers since Tuttle's not here. We'll both bash on them. They started out really good. I don't know where they're at now. Tonight, they better win tonight.
They better win tonight.
Yeah.
Because the way these two teams are going, I could see the Eagles kicking them around.
That's what I think too.
Yeah. I really could.
Yeah. And if they do that, they may be on the downward slide. But
the Bears are starting to get it together.
They are.
The Vikings have taken a step or two back, but that division's up for grabs.
Yeah. Yep, it really is. But we're getting into the part of pro football season that's really fun. And about to get ready for some couple of weeks, we'll be playing some bowl games.
Yeah, we will be.
Won't be long. So
yeah, Arkansas, they can't get eligible, right? They've lost seven games.
No.
Marshall still can get eligible, but they're going to have to go 2-2 the last four games. It's always Of course, Marshall won the conference last year, and then all their players left, and they couldn't play in the bowl game. But I think they made it where you can't do that anymore. But holy cow!
Yeah, yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
And in the Sun Belt, find them.
The
NCAA should have paid the fine.
that's right. One of the things we hadn't talked about though is the first list came out for the. Football, college football playoffs, and have you looked at that?
I have.
And what did you think it looked about? Of course, it changed after this weekend too.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what, man. I'm an SEC guy, and I would tell you that the SEC is the best football conference. But after watching Indiana, I'm not so sure Indiana and Ohio State aren't the best two teams in America right now.
They may be pretty. Yeah.
And man, how Cignetti was able to turn that around so fast is unbelievable to me. And then JMU makes another sensational hire. They're currently 9-1 or something like that. And if South Florida would stub their toes somewhere down the road, JMU could be the Group of Five representative in the playoff because they're likely going to win out.
Yeah.
And if South Florida loses at some point after they beat Marshall, the percentage of them being the Group of Five team went up to 33%.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it would be great to have a Sun Belt team in that Group of Five spot, as much as I don't like JMU.
and I think that's probably the most likely scenario now, don't you?
Well, South Florida has a tough road to hoe.
Yeah.
And North Texas has kind of been that. They're in the conversation as well, but it's going to be one of those three teams that's going to be your Group of Five representative.
Yeah, Yeah. Well, I think that you're right about Indiana's better than I thought they were.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering what happens when they get. Of course, they play big games all the time in the Big Ten. But
did you see what he said in the interview after they beat Penn State?
No.
She said that I guess Indiana had never won at Penn State. And he basically said to her, this Indiana Nat has won at Penn State. You know, basically saying, this ain't same old Indiana.
Right. Well,
and
we knew that.
Huh?
We knew that.
Yeah, but he wanted to point that out.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And I think that, I'm just going to see. I think over time, let's see what happens. I just wonder if he can maintain it there.
I wonder if he'll move at some point. I wonder if he'll take one of these big jobs.
It'll depend on how much NIL money they have.
Yeah.
That's what it all depends on.
Yeah.
Because if they got enough NIL money, he can remain competitive there.
Yeah.
You know,
I could see him just, I mean, I could see him just fitting right in at Penn State.
Yeah.
Yeah, staying in the same conference. And in many ways, the same part of the world, you know, the same part of the country.
Yeah.
To me, Penn State is a good fit for him.
Yeah. Well, and it's a good place.
Yeah.
Has a lot of tradition there.
Yep.
And everything. But anything else you want to talk about?
No. We had to talk more about the Steelers, but I got my belly full yesterday.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, I understand that. I've been there for a while. So I guess that wraps it up for this week. We, football season kind of winded down. Got a couple of teams in the playoffs. We're going to be following them, and we're going to be starting basketball here, and looking forward to that. And we just appreciate all our sponsors for all they do each and every week. We couldn't do it without you. We appreciate the coaches and the play-by-play guys and everybody that gets us the information so we can talk about these kids. But most of all, we appreciate the kids. We couldn't do it without them, and that's what we do it for. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.